Stanley family. David was sharing with me that Charles Stanley had passed away maybe yesterday or the last couple of days. And so I don't know about you, but I thought really, I'm not a connoisseur of preachers. I don't listen to an extreme amount of preaching by any stretch of imagination, but I've read a lot of Charles Stanley stuff over the years and heard him speak some online. But anyway, he was a great man in my opinion. Okay, so with that being said, let's go ahead and begin in Matthew chapter 14. And in verse 22, it says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered and said unto him, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And Jesus said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth thou art the Son of God. Now, we left off last week on verse 25, and so we'll pick up right there again. I'll read it once again. It says, In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. I'll remind you, we went over this last week, that the fourth watch of the night would be the three-hour period from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m., and so it's in the pre-dawn hours of the morning that all of this is taking place, which tells us that the disciples have been at sea for at least 9 hours, okay? And most of that time would have been fighting against this storm, because had they had calm seas or would have had good sailing for very long, they would have reached their destination, because it was not that far of a destination. So it tells us that the storm kicked up relatively early in the night and has gone now unto the sixth or the fourth watch, somewhere around 3 to 6 a.m. And so Jesus, it says that he went to them. Okay, so by now they're very weary, they're very tired, and it says in verse 25 that he went to them. And think about it, how long Jesus had waited to respond to their situation. You know, he knew about the storm, okay? It didn't catch him by surprise. But yet, he has not gone to them until this late hour, or this very early hour in the morning. And it's not totally uncommon for the Lord to do that. You think about when Lazarus died, Jesus tarried for what, 4 days? When Lazarus died, before he came to Bethany and raised him from the dead, okay? Disapproval, of course, of his sisters Mary and Martha. They're like, why weren't you here, kind of deal. Jesus knew Lazarus had died. He was aware of all that. He just chose to not come. And he could have easily, in any one of these cases, just spoke at a distance and provided the need of the miracle, okay? Whether it be this miracle, or I mean this storm that's on the water there, he could have stayed in his mountain experience there, praying to the Lord and this sort of thing, and just said, hey, storm, go away. He didn't do that. He didn't tell Lazarus to rise from the dead at a distance. But he was capable of doing that. In fact, the centurion servant in Matthew chapter 8, he did that very thing. He didn't even go to, at that point, he spoke that, and the servant was well. And so he can do anything he wants. He could have prevented Lazarus from dying at all. He could have kept the centurion servant from ever getting sick. He could have, obviously, in this situation, gave the disciples a smooth sailing all the way and never had a storm to start with, okay? In which case, they would be sleeping at this moment and catching up on their rest, leisuring or whatever. But that's not the case. He didn't do it that way. It didn't happen that way. In his sovereign power and infinite wisdom, he allowed his children to experience the extremity of the situation, okay? It wasn't that the storm come up and he rushed right in there. He allowed them to tarry for hours, and one of the parallel texts says that they were rowing, so that it's not the sort of ship that they could even navigate with sails or anything else. They were rowing against the waves. It says in the previous verses that they were... The ship was now in the midst of the sea, so they've been washed off course all the way out into the middle of the Sea of Galilee, and this is a crisis, and it's a crisis that lasted for hours. For what exact purpose for this, we don't know. He knew that this was the case. He knew what was going on. Same deal with Lazarus. He knew that Lazarus was dead. All of these situations, he knew what was going on, but in each case, he responded differently. You know, he knew from start to finish what all of the disciples' needs were. There's 12 in the boat. Of course, Judas didn't belong to him, okay? But the other 11, he knew their strengths. He knew their weaknesses. He knew where they were lacking spiritually. He knew their level of faith, their level of dependence upon him, their level of trust, their level of obedience. He knew the condition of their prayer life. He knew everything about them and what the needs were. He knew had all of the variables and what he could accomplish in each one of their lives through this storm. He knew. And so he did it the way he saw necessary for their betterment of his disciples and for the Father's glory. And we know for sure he never lost sight of them, okay? Now, how he was working in each one is between him and that person, but he never lost sight of his disciples. Did they forget some things? Absolutely. You think about it, these disciples had been walking with Jesus for some time and traveling with him and seeing his ministry, and time again he'd been there for them, and they'd seen all the miracles, and plus they were each good Jewish people, so they were students of the Old Testament Bible, okay, in all of this, and they seemed to some way in this crisis situation forget the countless times in the Old Testament that God came through for his people. That he was always there at the right time in the right way for his patriarchs, for the children of Israel at large, for the judges of Israel, for the kings of Israel, for the prophets of Israel, for a teenage boy named David when he went up against Goliath, and many other occasions where David needed him. And all of this has been forgotten by them in the midst of this storm. It had just slipped their minds, I guess. Before we get too hard on them, though, and before we begin to think, how could they do that, we have to ask ourselves, how many times have we been in a pickle, crisis, if you will, or perceived crisis? Most of the time, it's just a perceived crisis. It usually works out better than we ever dreamed before it even becomes a crisis. But sometimes it's a crisis. How many times have we been in those situations experiencing that, and we forget the times he's delivered us before? Or we forget what we've read in Scripture ourselves. We know the Old Testament, and we have the New Testament on top of that. But we tend to forget when we're in the midst in the emotion of a hard time or a difficulty in our lives. And God hasn't changed one ounce today from who he was and what he was capable of in the Old Testament times, or now in this instance in the New Testament times. His timing may not be the way we want it to be. He might not come as soon as we want him to come, but still he is there and he still cares. And just as he went to them walking on the sea, he's going to come to us in our situation and our trials and accomplish what he needs to and what he wants to. It's funny when you think about this, the very storm that they were facing is the path that he took to get to them, okay? He didn't circumvent the storm, he walked right through it. On top of the water, exercising his ability to not just calm or stop the storm, but to defy the storm and not succumb to its strong winds or its raging waves or, you know, the effects of it. This is really encouraging when you think about it, because you can picture Jesus on a sea in the midst of the Sea of Galilee in a very aggressive storm, high waves, raging waves, high winds, raging winds. And was he bouncing around, teetering back and forth, trying to keep his balance or trying to steady himself along the way? Not at all. I can guarantee you he wasn't. He just came walking on the sea, and he had complete control over this storm at all times. But not only that, let the storm rage when he didn't have to let it rage, and just defied it with his walking on the sea. And the truth of the matter is, we envision, and I thought about this myself, every time I've thought about Jesus walking on the sea, I picture flat water like this and him walking. It's just always what came to my mind. When you consider the circumstance, we've read the facts surrounding this. This was a storm. There was no glassy sea that he walked across there. These waves were up and down, possibly several feet rising and falling, and yet he walks across there. So how he navigated that, I mean, I know how he did it, because he's Jesus and he can't, okay? But precisely the method, if you will, that he navigated that is really unknown to us. It could be that he was just stepping from the top of the wave to the top of the wave all the way across there. We really don't know. It's going to be a really good question to ask when we get to heaven. But one thing about it, he walked across there in a way that was glorious, in a way that showed the disciples ultimately, now initially they're going to get scared, but ultimately showed the disciples that he can defy the powers of the storm even before he calms it. Now verse 26 tells us that, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. That term "saw him" comes from a Greek word that means to look intently, okay? That's what's implied there. That they were transfixed upon what they were seeing. They weren't clear on what it was. They were transfixed on it, trying to make sense of, in the midst of this storm, what they're seeing out there, trying to get it straightened out in their mind, okay? If you will, let's turn to the parallel passage, and I won't keep you long. I'm bringing her in. But let's turn to the parallel passage over in Mark chapter 6. And I want to show you something interesting. Mark chapter 6. And again, this is parallel, same instance. We start in verse 48. And he saw them toiling and rowing. There again, this gives it a little more detail. They're rowing. And the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea. But watch this. And would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed that it had been a spirit. And they cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, "Be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid." Okay? Now, we'll stop right there, but the importance of that is, it says that he was not walking directly to them. It says that verse 48, it says, and would have passed by him. What's being said here is somehow, for some reason, we don't know exactly why, Jesus does, but he was walking somewhat parallel to them. Okay? Not that he would pass by them, but it would appear that he was passing by them, okay? Parallel to them, perhaps they were making forward motion through those waves in the boat, and he's walking somewhat parallel to them, okay? If you can envision that. So there, that explains a little bit about them that gazing or just being fixed upon him. He's not getting any closer. They're looking through the midst of the waves and the wind, you know, while all the time being tossed up and down themselves. So they're really transfixed upon him, trying to make out what's going on here and what this is, okay? And then they said, "It is a spirit," okay? That's what they deduced from this. In the context, that word comes from a Greek word called phantasm. Phantasma, okay, that's the Greek word. We get our English word phantom from that, okay? It means an apparition or a creature of imagination. So they were probably saying to themselves, am I seeing something here? Is this what is this real? Is there something there? And am I hallucinating? Am I just in? But then the text tells us here in Mark that they all saw him, okay? So they're unanimously looking at him. They probably didn't have time to compare notes. Obviously, they're in the midst of a storm. They're hanging on for dear life. They're rowing. And now they're seeing something out there. There probably wasn't any time for chit-chat, but they're all seeing the same thing. And they're probably likely pointing and perhaps hollering something out, commenting on that. They were pretty stirred up at this point, okay? It says that they were troubled, and they cried out for fear. So this was a situation of being more than just a little bit of trepidation or being spooked. They were in terror, okay? And this is their situation. 9 hours or so of fighting with a storm were not enough. Now they're seeing this perceived apparition out there on the sea, and they're boogered by that, and they're thinking, wow, what do we got going on here? And then Jesus quickly sets their mind at ease, at least as far as what they were seeing goes, because it says in verse 27, back here at chapter 14 of Matthew, and verse 27, it says, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Though he had not yet calmed the actual storm, at least at the sound of his voice, and each one of them would have recognized his voice immediately, okay? They were his disciples. They were followers of him. At least at the sound of his voice, he calmed the storm that was raging in their hearts as far as what they were seeing out there. You kind of imagine how relieved it was to say, oh, it was Jesus. Still probably a little bit startled, but at least, hey, what's out here is our Savior, okay? And so we'll find out next time we're together. Peter steps out there and does one of the most miraculous things that a human has done. He walked on water momentarily until his faith weakens. And so we'll look at that together next time we're here on a Wednesday night. Okay, let's stand and be dismissed. Hope you guys